Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, and I'm going to head out now to the state of Louisiana, New Orleans, and welcome Chief Judge James F. McKay. I want to see if I can get some of your titles in before we get started here. Honorary Consul General of Ireland for the state of Louisiana, and National President of the Ancient Order of Hibernians. So, Mr. President, Mr. Judge, Mr. Consul, you're very welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate it. And, you know, some of my friends said, with all those titles, that and a buck and a quarter would get you two blocks. But, yes, you did get all of them correct. Thank you so much.
Oh, I could keep going, indeed, because Dan Dennehy sent me your bio here, and I only got to page 3, and I said, oh, geez, that's so
enough's enough, huh? Dan's one of my big fans, but go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yes, no. Dan will not object if we bring his name up a couple of times. And, well, he should, because he is extremely active in so many organizations here. But, of course, as chairman now of your new committee on
immigration.
Immigration with representatives from the AOH right across the country. Dan is the national chairman of the immigration committee, and he obviously, well, we know him very well here in the New York area. Matter of fact, we're tripping over him because he said every every cat fight and dog fight that there is. Now, I want to talk a little bit, if I can, about the timing of our conversation. The hoopla coming, you know, from the White House, yesterday, and the deal for the DACA, which is the deferred action for childhood arrivals, and the $25 billion for the wall, which will be very considerable, and then some would say, well, that's how much it's going to cost to get DACA taken care of. I'd be for throwing in an extra couple of billion if they run short. But that's
what's a billion here or there? I was saying that immigration, Dan has been our immigration chairman for quite a few years, and of course he's a well-known Hibernian, and his wife Siobhan is very, very involved.
Absolutely.
In that field, and so it really it helps us out that when we have to find out and get educated real quick on certain things that come out of DC and certain suggestions, et cetera. But this has been going on, as you know, for quite a few years now, and all under the auspices of reform, immigration reform. Well, it looks like immigration reform is over. No. So now they're trying to make up and find out what's best for Ireland, and I guess the best for the United States also. So we're very thankful to him, and we got him excited about forming a committee and making it regionally inclusive of all of our membership from coast to coast, from, you know, the Atlantic to the Pacific, and to the Gulf Coast even.
Yes.
So that we can get a handle on it and have people ready to go and go to the Hill when we have to go to the Hill and when we feel very strongly about something.
Yeah.
So he's been a great, great addition to our
I want to, not to make matters worse, because I'm sure that a lot of our listeners across the United States and beyond might feel that if this DACA bill goes through, that we'll all say thanks be to God and everything will be okay. Reality of the matter is that no matter how good DACA turns out, it is not going to address many of our people. The numbers are disputed and disputable, but let's say 50,000 here will have nothing to will not gain a single thing from DACA. So that leads us though to the next question, which is, and the next fear, that if, and to avoid another government shutdown this coming week, if there is a deal worked out with the Dreamers and the DACA people involved, that it would be a cold day in hell before the issue of immigration or immigration reform comes up again. What's your reaction to that?
Well, first of all, let me just say that there's a big difference between our president saying something on a microphone to listeners or tweeting to readers, and what's going on the Hill and behind the Senate doors and the House doors, and they're trying to bang something out. Will DACA have something to do with it? Absolutely. Will it be those kind of numbers? I don't think it's going to be the same picture. And we're not, you know, we can only know and trust our friends in D.C. that are following this thing and have their ears to the door, et cetera. I think it's a two-prong problem. You know, DACA may solve a lot of people who are in the United States, let's call them irregularly.
Yes.
That may take up a lot of those numbers. But it doesn't do anything for Irish immigration.
No.
And we have, you know, you have 200 visas every year out of Ireland. Yeah. And I'm sure Dan has hit you over the head with that in the 1960s it was 17,000 visas.
Before the elimination of the quota back in 1965, it was 17,000.
17,500.
I learned all my mathematics in the Irish language, but that to me should run somewhere around 850,000 visas that we would have had that immigration law.
Right, and of course there was a reason. I understand that Ireland didn't want to completely drain all of its youth and its brains, et cetera, you know, and they maybe want to slow it down, but certainly, we'll never see 17,000 again, and it may not be good for Ireland to see 17,000.
Right.
But we should certainly be looking at something, a figure of 7,000 to 8,000 to 10,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are some of the considerations that we have. Using immigration as a football, as a political football, is nothing that I enjoy. But it's the only game we have to play, and so we have to be reacting to what some of our friends on D.C. in Washington, D.C. say, some of our Irish friends, we have to, try and get to listen to what the people in Dublin say, and try and come up with a middle ground that everybody agrees with to fight. So is this headache going to be over tomorrow? Well, Adrian, you know that's not going to happen.
Yeah. This is going to be with us
for some time.
Yeah, but I do think that despite what's going on in Washington and both houses of Congress getting themselves into a knot, and the only addition that we see recently is that now back into the political football that you're referring to, is that we have a choice at this point. We can either wait for it all to shake out and then start again with the long road to meaningful immigration reform here, and we can get into You know, our, again, take the figure of 50,000 into the 12 point something million, as they're referred to as illegal aliens, which is not a friendly term to begin with. But,
no.
we can get online, or perhaps we can do, you know, what you, as president of the Ancient Order of Hibernians, the national president, are doing. And again, I come back to my half tongue in cheek. It's a hell of a week to bring this up. But if we if we wait until all of this is over, you know, then that's we've thrown in the sponge, like most others, and most other ethnic.
Well, and we have another problem too, Ed, is that it's very, very difficult advocating for the Irish and advocating for other folks at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes you have to say, well, what's best for the immigrants of this country, or what's best for the Irish of this country? And so sometimes, you know, we have to realize that we're all first fighting for the Irish, and then fighting for actual justice for many of the people who have been here for quite a long time without documentation. So it's a touchy subject, and this is certainly a very apropos week to speak of this, because it's all in the news, and it's very
right.
difficult for us to stay by a nonpartisan on it. And we have many members who are on both sides of the fence, as concerns the wall and the number of immigrants, et cetera, et cetera. So we walk a very tight rope, and that's why we're bringing with Brother Dennehy's committee, bringing people from all different parts of the country and all different walks of life, and get a good handle on it. Because our number one, I've always said that one of our greatest fortes, the Hibernians, is their networking.
Right.
And you know, if you punch somebody, if you punch a Hibernian in the nose in New York, he believes in Louisiana, and it's one of our strong points. And so we're trying to take advantage of that with our modern technology,
right,
to be in contact with as many people and many ideas as we possibly can on this particular subject.
When we go back to the mid-'80s and the big complaint, of course, not just Ireland, but many of the other countries who lost their quota, in the interest of, you know, spreading the visas to other countries that didn't have that kind of crack as we had. There were so many who felt that looking for anything that smacked of an allotment, say an allotment like Australia had and so forth, mm-hmm. that would be totally out of the question and a waste of time. And then, of course, we had Donnelly visas, and we got Morrison visas, and then that would go on to, say, Schumer visas. And a lot of other ethnics took a look and said, wait a minute, why are they getting allotments that we're not getting? And I think the short answer to that is we mobilized and we actually went for something which was out of the norm. And if I may say
That's correct.
I think we're back again to that point. If we roll over, that's it. We have turned our back not only on those who may want to come to this country, as in fact Irish people have done and can take credit for, you know, building the United States and being a very significant part of the success of the United States. But we're also saying to the 50,000, let's stick with that figure, people who are here, listen, can't do any more for you. You know, good luck to you, and keep your nose clean, and you'll be all right. Even that is not, in today's current environment, that is not correct either. It's, you know, to say, don't worry about it, there'll be a lot You know, we have to get all the Mexicans out of here, and we have to get all the...
Well, and you know, Adrian, we've been, you know, the Irish and the Hibernians, but certainly the Irish have been in the immigration business for many, 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 many years now. And we were having a great deal of discussions, maybe not using the same terms, but 100 years ago, mm-hmm. on how we were going to get our nephew over, or how we're going to get our cousin over, how we're going to get our mom over, yeah. et cetera. So we are very knowledgeable and very experienced in the field, and I'm not trying to say that, although I may say it, that as the Irish efforts go, so may go the rest of the immigration, but I don't want to use the word reform, but reorganization in the future, because we have people that talked about this for a very long time, and yeah. and I don't want to say we're more knowledgeable than the people who are on the Hill, because those people on it every second of the day, but we know our business, and yeah. and that's why it's important to let them know and reach out that we have, you know, we can help in so many ways, not only
Absolutely,
for
yeah.
information and networking, but maybe support also.
You know, you bring up a very good point, though, is that we've been at this a long time. The foundation of the ancient order of Hibernians, the oldest Irish Catholic fraternal organization with over 80,000 members in 46 states. But the ancient order of Hibernians was organized to deal with prejudice, to deal with some real issues like you know, the
know nothings,
happened, the know nothings, and the, you know, and clergy and those who were being you know, demonized because of their backgrounds and their religion and whatever. So, you know, when you say you've been at it a long time, I don't know how many organizations could say, well, we began because of discrimination, we got off the ground. But definitely, you know, as the oldest, America's oldest organization,
we're actually the poster child. I mean, we have weathered the storm. We have stuck together and done well and assimilated society and have become great citizens, great soldiers, great heroes in this country. So we could, you know, we know it can be done, and if the support is there from your own people, and you take the time to listen, and that's important, that you take the time to listen to both sides of the argument and try and work something out for your group. And that's why I'm saying we know what the Irish have to do, and I can't say what the Mexican government should do, or what the Iranian government should do, or
Absolutely.
What the Pakistani
yeah.
government should do. But we know what has to be done, and we'll just continue preaching the gospel in D.C. as much as we can.
And again, I think it's good to say that if we allow ourselves to become a non-entity, well, then we deserve it.
That's correct. You don't deserve the country if you do that.
Yeah. yeah. We also, though, have, again, with timing, unlike the choice of this week to bring up immigration reform, what we have is a real serious threat with respect to, you know, the relationship of Britain and Ireland, with Britain pulling out, exiting the European Union. Now,
yeah.
we don't know how that's going to shake out, but again, let's not wait. But there is it becomes a topic which separates us from, you know, from many others, in the sense that the relationship, forget the songs of war and 800 years, you know, of oppression and whatever. The fact of the matter is that Ireland and its relationship with Britain as it stands right now does take care of a fair amount of of immigration and immigration exchange and whatever. We don't know if that's going to continue with Brexit.
Well, you're right, and I think that what we do best is that because we've been around for so long, we take preemptive strikes, and we have committees formed already on Brexit, and together with Seamus Boyle, who's the chairman, the past mm-hmm. national president, chairman of our Brexit committee, that's been keeps in touch with us on a monthly basis on the developments, and of course Neil Cosgrove, who is our PAC national chairman,
yeah.
political education committee chairman, does a fabulous job and does some fabulous articles on the subject, and you're right. That's something that does involve a great deal of conferencing with Dublin and what's left of Stormont and whatever information we can find from London every now and then. So this is another, I hate to say the word, crapshoot, but it
yeah.
is because it changes every day. You know, it changes every day.
Yes.
So
your committee members now on the I want to throw out a couple of them here. They're hardly newcomers. You have the past president of national president of the AOH, Ned Ginley.
Certainly, Ned McGinley,
Ned
another
McGinley,
past president.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And
Brendan Moore.
For Connecticut, you have Jim Gallagher.
Jim
Gallagher,
yeah,
yes.
Right. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Keith Carney of Washington D.C., past national.
That's correct.
Hibernian Digest editor, and that brings us to South Carolina. James, how do you pronounce his name? Larsey.
Jim Larsey. Jim Larsey.
He's Larsey. Okay, well that's
Jim Larsey. Yeah.
Hold on for a minute.
And he's a good. And he's.
I wanted.
He's a great.
I have to correct this typo here before we go any further because I don't want to run into him and then get a wallop.
It's Larsey. Larsey.
Okay. All right. Montana, former State President Joe Lee.
Right.
California State President Chuck Gilday. And
Chuck
Gilday,
right.
Yeah.
You have great information, Adrian.
I know, yeah. I'm except that typo kind of that threw me for a loop there, but never mind. Bobby Mahoney, who is a
right.
member from Alexandria, Virginia, and of course our own chairman here, Dan Dennehy. A very
correct.
Impressive group of leaders who are not new to the challenges which have been taken up by the Ancient Order of Hibernians. Again, I think that many might say, oh my God, many might be, you know, surprised to know that, and if they're waiting with bated breath, to have this DACA somehow bartered for the $25 billion wall, that everything is going to be all right. And I honestly believe that, we've got to be ahead of the party.
There's no satisfying everybody, Adrian, as you know. And you mentioned about five things just in this past sentence that are going to have, you could do whole shows on them, each one of the issues. There'll never be a time when you can sit down and say, well, everything's okay. The Irish are fine and the whole world is fine and the United States
yeah.
is fine. You know, that's never going to be the way. And so that's why we strive to get some of our older members who, you know, it's not just because you were past president, you don't stop working. You don't just park
right.
and give up. We bring these people back in and put some young ones in them who are full of enthusiasm and vigor. And say, with that knowledge and with that spirit, let's go out and conquer the world. And so that's what we're trying to do, to infuse our young people in these problems and take some of our old hands who've been around for a long time to guide them in the right way. And I'm excited about both those committees, both the Brexit Committee and the new Immigration
yeah.
Committee.
Okay. Now, we have fairly, as president of the National Ancient Order of Hibernians, there's a short window here that requires immediate attention. We are coming up into the St. Patrick. We're coming to the St. Patrick season. And that's traditionally one, some might feel, well, you know, the Irishness generally outside of organizations such as yours, that the Irish euphoria disappears the day after St. Patrick's Day. Now, that's something that we would, heavily dispute. However, what is much more important is that the lead-up to the St. Patrick's season is not just New York, though, you know, we would like to think that it's all, you know, Fifth Avenue and that's it. The truth is that this is high-profile time, so this needs to get going yesterday. I'm trying to think of something other than cash in, but if we are going to get recognition for a movement without having somebody say, well, why are they rolling out something new? This is not something new. This
and you're speaking of making hay while the sun shines, and this is certainly the season when everybody, we're coming on March, which is in most states Irish Heritage Month, and we are hitting that gong hard. You know, we have an email list. We're finally getting into the 20th century. We are not in the 21st century yet, but in the 20th century. We have over like 12 to 15,000 email of our membership that we can press one button and send a message to. And we're doing this every month. And we're hitting Brexit hard. We're hitting immigration hard. We're hitting membership hard, because if you have no membership, then it's like a gong making no sound. So
yes.
We realize this, and we're using March as our springing board for quite a few things. And we've talked this last few minutes on many of them.
Yeah, I do want to throw play devil's advocate with you for a couple of minutes here, Nat, and bring up an issue that I think many of us in the Irish and Irish American community have actually contributed to, and that is saying, well, you know, all of the Irish organizations are on the way out. Take a look at county organizations and whatever. They're all old people, and they're retiring or moving on to the next world, and there are no young people interested in any of those organizations. How would you relate, as the national president of the Ancient Order of Hibernians, you know, to that?
Well, I would say certainly membership has been a big, big problem, not only today. It was in 1874. It was every year, membership is always on the top of someone's agenda. And I don't think that's true that they're giving up on these organizations. One of the biggest problems is, I would think, 80% of the people that come into our organization, we ask, why weren't you in here before? And they say, because we were never asked. And, you know, we're all shocked by that, because we are in it because our fathers were in it, my grandfathers were in it, et cetera, et cetera. And we have to start asking more. And we have just embarked on a national campaign and spending a few dollars on it to reach that young group, those millennials. I don't know how we're going to live with them, but we certainly can't live without them.
Right.
And going after those folks.
Yes. And you know, again, the naysayers would say, well, the Ancient Order of Hibernians, you know, they had their day in the sun. It began and continued, you know, as a Catholic, an Irish Catholic American organization, and they would pay little heed to the fact that the ideals of the Ancient Order of Hibernians you know, cover history, political action, charitable work, all of the other very positive inclusions that come with the Ancient Order of Hibernians. You know, this was not an organization.
Adrian, the people who say those kind of things don't know what we're about and don't know. They think it's all about having a good time on St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
And the Hibernian, the Ancient Order, we're Hibernians 365 days of the year. We're involved in many, 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 obviously charitable. I can't say how many billions
right.
of dollars go to charity from our organization every year. But we're in politics. We're trying to help solve immigration problems. We're in reach out for people who are immigrants, and not just the Irish immigrants. You'd
right.
be surprised how many troubled immigrants who are undocumented reach out to us and ask for our expertise. We're constantly doing good things, positive things, and feel good things for each individual member. And I think that the people who say that that's all we do is have a good time on St. Patrick's Day
right.
know not what they speak.
And I preach
that gospel as much as I can also.
Right. And also, we could, morph into having said the good time on St. Patrick's Day, those who say that the Catholicism and the conservative attitudes that many would think, you know, are perpetuated by the Catholic Church, that all of that stuff is kind of out of date. Let me know when you want me to stop playing devil's advocate.
Catholicism has been around for 2,000 years, and it's going to be around for quite a while longer. We are true sons of Ireland and certainly supporters of our faith, and that's not for argument. Everybody has an opinion on what the bishop said and what he interpreted and what the cardinal says and how he interpreted. But we're all together tremblings of our faith. We support it. We were born that way, and I firmly believe we will die that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any problem with that. Today we have a liberal pope. Tomorrow we have a conservative pope.
Right.
Today you have a conservative cardinal. Next week you might have a liberal cardinal. But what is it? The gospel of our Lord is that's what we're all about. So we'll be here for quite a long time.
I would say so. I also again want to revert to the current campaign. One that. First of all, I fully endorse. I've always felt that at the time when we're at, looks like we're at the lowest ebb, somehow we must do something right because all the many of the other ethnic groups come to us to say, how do you do it? And you made a very fine point about immigrant services. For those who think that if you don't have, an Irish birth certificate, that we don't want to know you. The immigrant centers, the Ancient Order of Hibernians have and continue to have a great impact, on all immigrants, and particularly those who are marginalized, the elderly, those who... who come to us through again, you had mentioned Siobhan Dennehy there, the Emerald Isle Immigration Center and many others across the country of the like. And they are, again, they're there, they're available. And when many people don't know where to turn, there is, I think that the Ancient Order of Hibernians, as an umbrella and as an umbrella group, work hand in hand with any of these organizations, and to a great degree, therein lies the success.
And I appreciate that comment, Adrian, because it's so true, and not enough people know the truth in that. And we know our way around, and we're always willing. And able to help Irish come first, of course, because it's
sure.
what we're about. But that's not to say we don't put our hand out and say, "Come on, let me help you up. Let me help you up this hill. Let me tell you, give you some ideas. Let me do this." And many people are asking. I mean, we get along famously with the Black Caucus on the Hill in D.C. and it's been very helpful with us with whatever few agendas we have. And so that's how you build relationships. That's how you build confidence in lawmakers, is that you know, like St. Paul, all things to all men. And that's what we try and be.
Absolutely. And again, I would like to point out that for those who feel that the Ancient Order of Hibernians welcomes only staunch practicing Catholics, daily communicants, get over it. That's
yes.
An excuse. That
no.
Is,
no.
That is an excuse. And one.
Well, that certainly may be a goal one day, but that's not what we have, and that's what we go after. And we just want them to recognize the faith that they were born in and support it and be true to their Irish heritage. And you have to have a concern. I mean, today, for example, and we're in more states than in the history of the Ancient Order of Hibernians. More
wow.
States than ever. Now, our numbers are not as much as it was back in 1880, but
right.
They're twice what they were in since 1970. So, you know, I mean, we're going to be around, and I think we're around because we do understand the issues, and we understand other people's problems also. And we don't say, well, you're on your own. We try and help wherever at least I do. And I know my predecessors in the recent memory always held a hand out and said, let's help. What can we do? Because by helping them, you help yourself. Especially on the Hill.
I want to thank you, our guest, Chief Judge James F. McKay, and also National President of the Ancient Order of Hibernians. I think that a lot of people in today's day and age don't need to be instructed as to how you get more information. The Ancient Order of Hibernians, very impressive website, and it is easy, no matter where people are, to log on and to get that information. And if you want to bother somebody, actually, rather than us, I might direct you to the chairman, indeed Dan Dennehy, director. He's the AOH national director and the national immigration chair.
And we have another New Yorker who's in charge of memberships. He only picked the top guys out of New York for our things from New York. Jim McSweeney from Albany is our membership chairman and is doing a great job. So
right.
Anybody who wants to reach out to the website or to Dan Dennehy
yes.
or to Liam McNabb or to Jim McSweeney up in this area
right.
and, of course, a ton of people from Massachusetts and Connecticut, et cetera, whose names I'm not going to mention because we don't have enough time. But
right.
They're all ready, willing, and if they want to call me, I'm on the website, call me. I'll talk to them.
And also, before we end here, I would like to again, remind people that there are lots of new, young chapters of the AOH that are actually starting to appear in places that simply didn't have that kind of exposure before. And there's hardly an Irish organization that can brag or come anywhere close to having chapters in 46 states of the United States, the Ancient Order of Hibernians. Jim, Chief Judge,
James. Oh, no, Jim and Fon. Adrian, thank you so much for thinking of me. And if I can be of any help to my brothers in the frigid colds of the North,
yeah.
Let me know.
Yeah, well, if you're coming this way, you have to.
I wish I could send some warm weather up there to you, but not yet.
That's all right. Well, you know.
I promise in another month.
Okay, very good. Well, unless you have a snow shovel, you wouldn't bother coming over here this way. Okay, thank you very much. All right.
Thank you. God bless. Yes,
God
sir.
Bless.
Bye-bye now.
And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.